Amherst Eclectic, back for another installment of our podcast here, and I have come across some tips for, I guess, just what you can do in the boudoir, and I'm noting some of them, and I'm taking them out of other places, different books I found. Different things I found, and I thought I'd bring them on to the podcast here. So I think there's over 100 tips that I found, so I don't know how long we'll talk about each tip, but I am going to go through them. Now, this was apparently a little survey that was done. Some of these are from the survey that was done, where they got a bunch of women together. It was a men's magazine, I think. Got a bunch of women together and gave them some drinks. That was the joke. They got them drunk. I don't know. Some of these books, I wonder if they're just saying things or they're telling the truth. And they got them talking, I guess, just to make them feel comfortable. They had to do a little liquid inebriation, a little liquid courage to get them moving. But I find that if you get the right set of women in a room who are comfortable with talking about sex and comfortable with sex, which is probably the best women to get in a room to talk about this, because if someone isn't comfortable with sex, they probably haven't tried enough things to give you good advice. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, they're probably not going to know as much as someone who is actually comfortable with sex, has fun with sex, and likes having sex. So apparently they had to inebriate these women. But anyway, they're saying they did. And they asked them, you know, questions about, you know, what is the best tips you can give for a man to make a woman moan. So these are some of the tips that they gave. And we'll start with the first one. And I guess I'll tell you if I think these tips are good or not as we go along. But the first one was undress her slowly. Slower, slower, slower. And it says here, unlike porno actresses, real world women love the agony of anticipation and the torture of teasing. Plus, those nice lacy bras women wear are not cheap, which means she'd rather you didn't tear them off and chuck them in to the air in 20 seconds. Which is a good point. Now that we're starting out on this, you know, I mean, that's the first thing that happens. You know, you're going to kiss, of course, but when you're getting down to the nitty gritty, undressing someone slowly can be very alluring. It can also, they're talking about the anticipation. It can really be a great foreplay thing where you're not just going wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know, you're taking off things slowly. You're kissing, you're caressing, you're holding each other. You're making that anticipation of what is going to come, literally. you're making that a longer process, and you're exploring each other's bodies, and you're exploring each other's mouths, and, you know, whatever. And it can make it a lot more exciting knowing that something is coming, but it's not coming very slow. It's not coming very quickly. And it's also, I think, when you undress each other slowly, this is not just good for women to men, but I think men enjoy that as well. I guess it goes back to the striptease kind of thing. You know, when women strip, they're dancing and they're slowly taking off things. Or men do the same thing when they strip and they take off things slowly. Whenever you go to a striptease kind of show, that there's that anticipation of what's under there, what's it look like. Even if you've seen it before, there's still that, you know, there's that tease. And it's great if you're in a relationship and you're looking for something to, you know, kind of spice up your sex life, you know, and I've mentioned this in other podcasts, go slow. Go very, very slow. Well, undress slowly, and that will bring on some anticipation, will bring on some excitement, might even take you back to the times when you were first together and you were, you know, each one of you weren't sure how far you wanted to go or how far you should go or if you were ready. So it can tend to do that. But, you know, when somebody dresses in a sexy pair of underwear and a sexy bra or maybe even a slip, they don't want you to just tear it off. They want you to look at it and appreciate it and know that they picked all of these things out specially for this moment when you would be undressing them so that you could see it, so you could feel it, so you could touch the material. I mean, when a woman wears something silk, if she's paid for something that is actual silk or silky, she wants you to enjoy the touch of it. She wants you to enjoy the feel of it. And she also wants to enjoy the fact that you are touching and feeling it and enjoying it and taking your time. I think that's something that men need to understand. I don't understand why at this point in history, when we've actually been pretty out and about talking about sex for years now, that men just don't get it. You can't just always just rip someone's clothes off, go at it, and walk away. If the woman is worth her grain of salt or worth who she is, she's not going to want to have sex with you again because you're horrible. You're horrible at having sex. And the thing you want to do is you want someone to come back. Vice versa. Same with men. You know, if you're just going to rip off his clothes and take what you want and walk away as a woman, you know, that's not going to leave something memorable in his mind as well. You know, you want someone that you enjoy having sex with. It's like any other act that you have in your relationship. You know, guys think if they build up a woman, they can just take her. But no, I mean, you've taken the time to do all the other things, to get to know the woman, to get to know the person, vice versa with getting to know a man. Why would you then want to just rush the most intimate experience you're going to have together and a fun experience that you're going to have together? So yeah, I agree with that. Taking off the clothes slowly, both man and woman, is kind of, it's, you know, anticipation and sexy. All right. The second thing they say here is to cradle her face. Now, again, this is pointers that women were giving to men, but I, again, think that these can apply to both men and women. This is the move that always gets those, what is it, dorky movie stars, the girl. Slide both of your two hands across her cheeks, hooking your thumbs above her ears. Oh man, they're even detailing this. And your other fingers beneath her hair, lightly cradling her neck. Then put your lips her lips to yours and give her a long soft kiss. So basically just, you know, softly touching her face, cradling it, kissing her softly. You know, again, take your time. And I think men appreciate that just as much. In fact, I know they do. You know, just taking your time and kissing them slowly or kissing their neck or you know, brushing your hand across their face or putting your fingers through their hair. You know, it's a good thing to do to when you're first, especially when you're first starting to kiss or starting to get to know each other before you're moving on to the big act. But again, if you do that later in the relationship, after you've pretty much solidified sleeping together and having sex, if you still are doing that later, and that just shows that, you know, you care about that person, you want the experience to be good for them, that you still look at them with your longing, loving eyes and take your time to appreciate who they are and how they look and the beauty you see in front of you or the handsomeness you see in front of you. Okay. Now we're down to three. Check out the rest of her body. I would say this again for men, check out each other's body. Danny Ash, I guess this is from a porn star. She's star of soft porn, and she has a website. She likes it when guys don't grab the first thing, things they see. In other words, don't just grab your breast, a woman's breast right away. And she says that most guys go right for the breast, or right for my breast, but the guy who turns me on the most pays more attention to my thighs and my calves. She says, and as a lover, you'll stand out and stimulate her more if you focus on less obvious body parts. And I tend to agree with that. You know, all of us, when we were first having our first sexual experiences, can attest to this, that, you know, when somebody actually started paying attention to a different part of your body, it was a kind of a turn on. And it was kind of sweet that they weren't just, okay, touch the breast, kiss, touch the breast, screw. I mean, that's just what basically, I'm pretty sure most guys would do if they didn't have to do anything else to keep things going. But fortunately, as guys go along, they learn that that's not what you do. And I think, again, these reasons that are being set out here and the reasons that I found online are why a lot of women don't like sex, or why a lot of men don't like sex. You know, it's not all it's cracked up to be kind of thing, because their partners or partner doesn't take the time to do what needs to be done in the bedroom. And what's sad is that person who's rushing through it is also missing out, whether it be the man or the woman. They're also missing out on a really awesome experience that they could be having each and every time they're with somebody. Because each and every time is different. I don't know about you, but each and every time is different, or it should be. And there should be new things that you're exploring each and every time. And you should learn things each and every time that you're with somebody or making love with somebody. It shouldn't just be a repetitive thing, the same old over and over again. So yeah, take your time, explore other areas of the body. I mean, if you are sexually attracted to someone, it's usually not just because they have big breasts or because they've got a large penis or wide shoulders or a nice butt. There's usually everything about that person that you like. You like their eyes. You like their mouth. You like their hair. There's usually many things about that person that you like. Explore those parts of the body. Explore those things on that person. Okay. Come down from above. Okay. When women masturbate, they usually reach down and have their fingers stimulating the hooded part of the clitoris. When men do it, they often touch the glands underneath. Not the hooded part. In many women, the glands... is that what I said? The glands is so sensitive that touching it can actually hurt them and not arouse them, really. You know, so if you want to do something new, reach down, you know, from above with your hand over her pubic mound, is what this person is saying. I'm trying to decipher what they're saying, as if your hand is her hand. So this is something that I've always said a really good thing to do if you are a couple, and if, you know, his masturbating of you or you're masturbating with him isn't the greatest, you should go on opposite ends of the bed. Him on one end, you on another, where you cannot touch each other, and have a night where you just watch your significant other masturbate. Tell them to do what they normally do and everything they do, and they need to be comfortable. Tell them, be comfortable to do exactly what you do when you're masturbating yourself, so that I can see what you do that turns you on. You know, close your eyes if you need to, act like I'm not here, but I need to see what turns you on, what you do to yourself, how you touch yourself that makes you come, that makes you have an orgasm. So that I then know what to do when the time comes, so that I know how to masturbate you the way that you like to be masturbated. And I really think that it's a great way to do it. And you watch your partner, watch what they're doing to them. So sometimes they'll touch their chest, they'll touch other parts of their body. They'll do things where they're fantasizing about you. Just tell them to lay back, close their eyes, fantasize about you and what they would do when you weren't around. And you want them to be as comfortable as possible to do it, so that you can see exactly what they do. And make that very clear that you want to see exactly what they do. Because you want to be able to give them the pleasure and understand what they need from you when you're touching them. And also, you know, tell them to verbalize during times that you're masturbating them. If it's too sensitive in that area, if you're doing it too hard, if it hurts in those areas, you know, tell them that they need to be verbal and let you know, and to stop you if you're hurting them and say, no, that hurts there. Do it here. And I think that that's, you know, especially for women, it's really hard for them to verbalize and say, don't do that, because they're afraid that they're going to make some guy feel like he's not good enough or not a good enough lover. Well, he'll be a much better lover if he knows exactly what you need, because we are all different. Same for men. We're all different. I've, you know, there's not a man who likes the same things done to his penis or... you know, I mean, there's similar things, but some are a little more sensitive with the head of their penis. Some are more sensitive at the shaft. Some are more sensitive at the scrotum. So, you know, you have to just ask them what they like. Some people like to be anally stimulated. Be ready for that, you know. You might stop and wash your hands afterwards, because that can, you know, that can go, like I said, in other podcasts, we've talked about not having feces going into other areas, because that can cause infections. But you can, you know, try different things with each other, ask each other questions, be open and honest, and tell your partner you want to hear what they have to say. And then when they tell you, don't berate them or make fun of them or whatever. It's what they like. Make them feel comfortable in the fact that they were able to tell you, they're able to be honest with you, they'd be open with you and tell you what they want. And now you understand them more. So that's what you need to do. You just need to talk to one another. Okay. Another woman said, play with her hair. This is the don't just touch my breasts kind of things. I have other parts of my body that I like you to touch. And I'm actually surprised at this one, because I know a lot of men who just dream about running their fingers through their partner's hair, whether it be straight, curly, whatever. They just dream about it, or vice versa. You know, a lot of women like curly hair on men because they want to get their hands in there and play with their curly hair, or they just like, you know, the men with the really nice soft hair. But okay, maybe it's because they lavish so much time and attention on them, but women want their heads petted constantly. Oh, really? I don't know. I want my head petted constantly. But so treat your gal like a cat. Massage her scalp with your fingertips. Ooh, that does actually feel good. Twirl her hair in your hands. That does feel good. And hey, go ahead and tickle her behind her ears, and don't be surprised if she starts purring. Okay, so now I get the reference to the cat. But yeah, I think a lot of people like to have their hair played with, and they like to have their head massaged. I mean, any part of the body people like to have massaged. It's not just the shoulders or the back. You know, I have given total body massages to people in my life, and they just love it. It relaxes people. And then also, if people are a little uncomfortable with you touching certain areas of their body, sometimes a massage can help, because then it makes them more comfortable with you touching those areas later on, their areas of their body that they may be uncomfortable with, because, you know, it's not going to be sexual. You're giving them a massage and then you walk away. It's not, you know, something that you're pushing for sex. And so then it makes it more, a little more comfortable when you start to have sex or you start to make love. When you do touch those areas, they feel a little more comfortable about it because you actually gave them an all-over massage and didn't expect sex afterwards. And that's a big, that's something, I wonder if that's coming up later on some of the lists I found. But that's another thing. Guys, don't just give a massage because that's what you're hoping it's going to go to sex. When you give somebody a massage, men or women, give a massage many times that doesn't lead to sex. Because, you know, and if you're going to give a massage that you're thinking is going to lead to sex, make it very clear that's what you want to do. That massage is actually, I'm going to give you this massage and then we're going to make love. Just make it very clear. And then if you're just giving someone a massage, I'm just going to give you a massage and then you can go take a bath and you can relax for the rest of the night. Make it very clear what each time you give a massage is about. Because I think a lot of people end up resenting the fact that they thought they were getting a massage because somebody actually cared enough about them, knew that they were tired, knew that they were worn out, and they were just trying to help them relax, get a massage, go take a bath, and then go to sleep. And yes, there are times when you'll have to do that for your partner. Because you love them, because you care about them. But then, you know, if you're very clear about, you know, I'm going to give you a massage and we're going to make love, then people understand. And then they can say, well, actually, I'm really would love a massage, but I'm just too tired for the other part. So anyway, but it's not bad to give someone a massage and not have to have sex with them. So just one of my pointers. Okay. All right. Number six, be shallow. What does that mean? At least with your kisses. When you kiss her, don't go too deep with your tongue. That's junior high shit. This is what this says. And it makes her think that you're trying to unsubtly indicate you want to be poking her somewhere else. Plus, popping your tongue out of the back of her head, or popping your tongue out of the back of her head makes for a bad alien outtake. So basically, don't be shoving your tongue down her throat all the time. Or really, not, I don't know, not, there's times when that's called for. There's times, but most times, you know, when a guy is just shoving his tongue in your mouth and down your throat, it's not attractive, it's not romantic, it's not even a turn on. You know, kissing is an art. And I think that that's something that a lot of men and women don't get because they've never had a relationship where someone actually took the time to slowly kiss them. Or treat the art of kissing as an art. And it is. There's so many things you can do with the mouth, with each other's mouth, that can be a major turn on. And it doesn't have to be shoving your tongues in each other's mouth. There's all kinds of little things you can do. You can softly peck. You can kiss around the mouth. You can even take your tongue and roll it around inside someone's mouth, around their teeth. I mean, there's lots of things you can do that can be a turn on. It depends on the person. Or you can, you know, not use tongue and just kiss softly and explore that. There's lots of things you can do. But it doesn't always have to be you constantly shoving your tongue down somebody's throat. And if somebody is at that level, well, that's all they can understand, then they need help. I need some psychological help. If it's only shove the tongue down the throat, grab the breast and screw you, then, you know, they're missing out on a lot. They're missing out a lot on what sex can be, and what a really good experience sex can be. And if you're doing that every single time, oh my gosh, I feel sorry for you. There's so many things you could, I mean, go get the Kama Sutra. The Kama Sutra, and try some different positions, try some different things. And they talk about kissing in the Kama Sutra as well. So you want to enjoy life. You're only going to be here for a certain amount of time. You want to enjoy each and every experience you have, and each and every experience you have can be different. All right, next, take a break. Sometimes when my guy and I are doing it, says a 29-year-old, he'll just stop when he's all the way inside of me and we'll take a rest and let all of that sensation rush over us without disconnecting. And it's way hotter than just pounding away endlessly at each other. And I agree. I agree. And sometimes you have to take a rest because one of you is ready to have an orgasm and one of you is not. And it is not fair, nor is it nice, nor is it something you should do in a relationship. You shouldn't, a guy shouldn't be coming before the woman all the time because then a guy deflates and then it's not very good for the woman. Or the woman, well, I have to say it's probably a good idea to let your woman come first because typically a man can come right after pretty quickly because he's been holding out for a long, long time. But if there is an issue with that, where a woman is coming too soon and the man isn't ready to come, then that's something you need to talk about as well, because that's not fair. It's not fair. And I'm not saying that you have to come at the same time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, because that rarely, if ever, happens that people come at the same time, because typically a man has to stay, try to stay erect or stay hard, as a lot of people would say. Long enough, and it's a real struggle for a lot of men to stay hard long enough so they can make sure that their lady is able to come, because it takes women sometimes longer to come than it does men. Now, I'm not saying there aren't women who come before men who are more highly sensitive, and it also, it depends on the position you're in. It depends on the size of a man's penis. It depends on the size of a woman's vagina. It that all comes into play. It depends on what angle you're coming at. It also depends on emotions. It depends on if you're in a committed relationship or you're just on some Tinder date that you just met somebody, which, again, don't do that. But anyway. So, I mean, it all comes into play about whether someone is going to have an orgasm or not. Now, stopping, like this person has said, is a really good thing. I know that some of the men in my life, we would do that. We would stop. And they do that in tantric sex as well. That's why they're able to have 8-hour sessions in tantric sex, because you have to stop moving. You have to stop to in order to maintain the erection, in order to maintain not having an orgasm. You have to stop because somebody is going to have an orgasm if you keep moving. So you pause and you just take your time and you move slowly. Or you don't move at all, or one person moves and the other person doesn't move. Or, each individual, sometimes the woman has to move a little bit so that she can catch up with the man, and the man has to stay still so he doesn't come, or vice versa. So it all depends on the situation you're in. I know that, there's been times that you just do it for fun. Just to feel the sensation, to see how long you can actually hold out, which again, that goes back to tantric sex. That's what they do in tantric sex, which is pretty awesome. And if you've been together for a long time, trying something like that is a real plus to do, and to take a break, just to not move, just to kiss and hold each other and caress and not move, but still be connected, him inside you, and stay connected is kind of a huge turn on. And it can have different sensations that you may have never ever felt before because you've never tried it. Okay, so that was the seventh tip, and we're heading into the end of this podcast. I will continue doing these podcasts and go through all the tips that I found, and we'll talk about them. And they're nice suggestions for you guys to do in the boudoir to kind of heat things up. So onward and upward to the next podcast. This is Podcast One on Sex Tips.
Thank you.